I'm just going to turn to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is a psalm that has been a great challenge to us over these months, and just want to share with you from this wonderful psalm. Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Amen. This is God's word. So what's the goal for Northern Ireland now? Is it just enough for them to get to the finals next year in France, or have you got high expectations, maybe the same high expectations I had in 1982 and in 1986, but surely this is the goal. I mean, it's just a short step now to winning the trophy. Anyway, we can keep hoping for that. Maybe some of you are planning your holidays next year for France. But thinking about goals, just briefly this evening, here's a question for us. What is the goal of God's grace? What is the goal of God's grace? I believe that's the big question that this psalm is answering for us. It's a psalm that begins and ends with God's grace to us, from the supplication of verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, to the certainty that God will be gracious to us at the end of the psalm, verses 6 and 7. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. And there's no doubt about it as we think about it this evening. God is gracious to us. God has been gracious to us. God is gracious, and God forever will be gracious to us. Back in Numbers 6, God told Moses to instruct Aaron and his sons, the priests, that they were to mediate the grace of God to God's people. They were to pronounce this blessing of God's grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's how it was in the Old Testament. God's grace mediated to God's people through God's priests. So where do we fit into that? Well, ultimately, God's grace mediated to us through God's great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, when he had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, the fullness of God's grace being mediated to us through Jesus, our great high priest. And just stop for a moment and think about that. What grace is mine? What grace is mine in the Lord Jesus? If we think about what Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus there in Ephesians chapter 1, we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing mediated to us by our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. We are those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world, those who have been adopted through Jesus Christ, those who have been redeemed by his blood and forgiven according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. What grace is mine? What grace is yours tonight if you know and love the Lord Jesus? What grace is ours? But is that it? Are we the goal of God's grace? Are we the ultimate goal of God's grace? Is it to end with us? God, our God, shall bless us. God's grace to us and us only. Is it just to bounce off the walls in here and from person to person, and we can rejoice in God's grace to us, and that's it? It stops with us. No. Listen again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. You see, God's grace to us is for the salvation of all nations. Look at the thread that runs right down through the psalm. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations, the peoples, all the peoples, the nations, the peoples, the nations, the peoples, the peoples, the earth, all the ends of the earth. We recently had our Thanksgiving Day offering. Part of it was going to a project called Operation Safe Havens that's working with Christians who are in desperate circumstances, as we know, in Syria, and are being resettled in some European countries, in particular Poland. Imagine we collected all that money in Coleraine, and we sent it off to Operation Safe Havens. And they sent us a lovely thank you letter, and they were so thankful for us giving that. But imagine if some months later we discovered that actually they'd never passed it on. It was meant to go to certain people in a certain situation, but imagine they just stockpiled it. Imagine the money given had just accrued in their bank account. They had never, as it were, mediated the blessing that had been given to them for those it was intended for. Well, that would be disastrous, wouldn't it, for those who should have received it. So imagine us just stockpiling God's grace for ourselves, thinking of ourselves as the final destination of God's grace, never getting further than thanking God for his grace, as it were, sending up lots of thank you letters. And yes, we should thank God and praise him for his grace, but never to get beyond that. That would be disastrous, because God's grace to us is for the salvation of all nations. Actually, that's how it was to be in Israel, as God's grace was mediated to them through God's priests. They were to mediate it to the nations. God said to his saved people, Israel, back in Exodus 19, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. It wasn't to end with them. They were to be a kingdom of priests, mediating the grace and blessing of God to the world around them. But we know what happened. Instead of being a kingdom of priests, Jesus ends up calling Israel's leaders a brood of vipers. Instead of being a light to the nations, they became just like the nations. So what of God's promised blessing to the nations? It's got choked up in Israel. Is that the end? God said to Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But how? If this kingdom of priests have failed to mediate God's grace to the nations? Answer, through the Lord Jesus. Paul says in Galatians 3 that it's through Jesus the blessing of Abraham will come to the nations. He is Abraham's true offspring. God's grace to us through Jesus and then to the nations. Peter says that as Christians, we are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. In the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, in him, we are a royal priesthood. Why? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God's grace comes to us, mediated through Jesus, true Israel, our great high priest. And then because in Jesus we are a royal priesthood, we are to mediate the grace of God in the gospel of Jesus to the nations. In the psalm here, there's a tremendous note of certainty that God will be gracious to us. God, our God, shall bless us. But actually, God's grace to the nations is just as certain. Verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. It's written here as if it's already happened. God's gracious saving purpose for the nations will be accomplished. There's going to be a harvest, a great harvest of all nations, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. All the ends of the earth will fear God. And what certainty that gives us in gospel work, in gospel outreach, in mission at home and mission overseas. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, all the ends of the earth will fear God. It's a tremendous comfort. It's also a tremendous challenge. How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? God's grace to us is not to end with us. It's for the salvation of all nations. God's grace flowing to us through Jesus. God's grace in Jesus flowing through us to the nations. That's why Jesus says to us, to the embryonic church at the end of the Gospels, you're to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Tim Chester, in his book Mission Matters, says every Christian has the joy and responsibility of being involved in world mission. It's not for a few, never mind for a special few. The commission was given to the church. We together have the responsibility of mediating the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus to the nations. But how? I remember at Good News Club camp learning the chorus, and really it tells us how. We used to sing, pray, pray, pray. The Bible says to pray. Give, give, give. The Bible says to give. Go, go, go. The Bible says to go. You can pray. You can give. You can go. You can pray, and your prayers can touch the world. You pray to the God who is sovereign over all. You pray to the God whose sovereign purpose is that all nations might hear of the Lord Jesus. And that those of all nations and tribes and peoples would come and put their trust in him. I remember going along with, was the pastor in Oma, pastor in Nakani before that, and Oma and Limavady, and some of you will know who I'm speaking of, Pastor Smith. I remember going along with the Baptist Youth Fellowship in Oma with Pastor Smith. And before we went in to visit a lady, it was coming up to Christmas and we were doing a little bit of carol singing. And before going in to visit this lady, he told us, he said, old Mrs. Crawford, she's almost never out of her room. In fact, she's almost never out of her bed. She's frail and elderly. But he said, when you go in, you'll see a lady who prays. I remember going in, and we stood around her bed and seeing this lady, totally insignificant as far as the world was concerned, but seeing all the prayer cards, the missionaries she was praying for, and Pastor Smith almost kind of interviewing her. And there from her bed, she was touching the world. She prayed to a God who has a heart for the nations. Let me encourage you to pray. I'm not just saying to pray for us in going to Sweden. You have the missionaries that you're supporting here from your own church, but to pray. I think our missionary prayer meeting is probably the poorest attended meeting in our church. Why is that? Well, I don't know anything of what it's like here. Pray. You can pray. You can give. Think of the lady in Luke 21, and she gave all that she had. We were looking at that recently in church, and we asked the question, is that not crazy? That's crazy, giving all that you have. But no, it's not crazy for three reasons. Not if all that we have already belongs to God. then we render to God what is God's. Not in the light of the age to come. It's not crazy. Not in light of the things that really matter. In the light of eternity. If this life is preparation and not destination, then it's not crazy to give all that you have to be used for Him. And not if Jesus is Lord. Lord, if all that I am and all that I have, and certainly not if Jesus has already given His all for me, then it's not crazy to give all that I have for Him. You can pray, you can give, and you can go across the street or across the sea. You can go individually. You can go in partnership with others. We were so encouraged in the last few weeks while we were going down on a Friday morning to do this course in engaging with Islam. Someone in church recognized the opportunity to partner with us in that. And they looked after the girls early morning and saw that they got to school so we could go down and prepare. That's as much part of the work. That's as much part of the going, and what an encouragement it was to us. You can pray, you can give, you can go. We, each of us, we are to mediate the grace of God to the nations. But are we? Just as we close, back to our question. Have we answered it yet? What is the goal of God's grace? Well, God's grace to us is amazing. God, our God, shall bless us. Awesome. But our salvation is not the ultimate goal of God's grace. Not yours and not mine. Well, what about God's grace to the nations? I mean, that's incredible. The earth will yield its increase, a vast harvest of nations. But the salvation of the nations is not the ultimate goal of God's grace. So what is? The goal of God's grace is God's glory. The goal of God's grace is God's glory. It took me years to get this. It's not about me. It's not ultimately about us, or us and us and us, and those who will believe. It's about Him. It's about God and His glory. And this psalm points us there. Look at the center of the psalm. It's as if the two sides of the psalm are arrowing us in the center. And who's in the center? It's the King on His throne. Our glorious King, ruling and reigning over all. In verse 4, he judges the peoples with equity and guides the nations upon the earth. Here's God in His glory, loving and guiding and showing His power and His majesty in glory. And what's on either side? It's our response of worship. On one side, in verse 3, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You, reflecting to Him His glory. On the other side, verse 5, let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Wonderful picture of the ultimate reality. God in His glory, loving and giving. And us, redeemed and saved of God, reflecting, rightly reflecting, as we were designed to do, reflecting to Him His glory. The goal of God's grace is God's glory. Samuel Swimmer, an old missionary of the last century, said the chief end of missions is not the salvation of man, but the glory of God. God will get the glory that He is supremely worthy of, the glory that is the ultimate goal of God's grace. And so we can pray this prayer with confidence, with conviction. God, be gracious to us and bless us, and make Your face to shine upon us. Not that it would end with us, but so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among the nations. Not that it would end with the salvation of the nations, but that ultimately all the peoples will praise you, O God, and ascribe to you and reflect back to you your glory, the glory that is yours and yours alone. And forever the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's why we're going. That's why God has called you to go and to partner in this great, great work. Yes, for the salvation of the nations, but ultimately for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for how amazing it is for us to stop and consider your grace to us. We are overwhelmed by your grace. We've only thought of your grace to us in salvation. We think of all the other blessings that we have because of our salvation, because of our standing in the Lord Jesus, because of those that we're united to in the Lord Jesus, and the fellowship that we share in, and how many ways you've blessed us. Father, we pray that you might enable us to use all that we have, all that you've given us, for your glory. Father, we pray that you would help us to see others as you see them. Pray that you would forgive us for treating this life, for thinking about this life as destination. Help us to take decisions and live our lives in the light of eternity. We thank you for the confidence that this gives us, that one day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. We thank you that one day and then forever we will do what we were designed to do, created to do, and redeemed to do. We will rightly reflect and ascribe to you the glory. It is yours and yours alone. We pray in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen.